2019 is fast approaching, but the Institute of Chartered Accountants insists that now is the best time for people to start thinking about their taxes. Today, they released a list of the top 10 methods of taking control of your 2019 taxes, and Michael Croker, tax leader for Chartered Accountants at ANZ, who points out that while some Australians stress out about tax, it doesn't necessarily have to be stressful. I asked him, what makes tax time so stressful for so many people?
Well, for individual taxpayers, it's mainly the rush to get things ready and claim that refund if they're expecting a refund, or if they've gone into more complex sort of transactions like disposing of shares or property, etc., trying to get their cost base records ready for capital gains tax purposes. A lot of people are surprised sometimes when their accountant asks them for a whole lot of information to support the tax calculation. And the aim of the exercise is to try and encourage your listeners to keep records on a contemporaneous basis as you go, so that when you go and see your accountant, you're well prepared and you can get the tax return lodged quickly and get any refund paid to you quickly.
And so for younger people who are just entering the workforce, what tips would you have for them, for those who are in sort of from June 2019 going to be lodging a tax return for the very first time?
Well, firstly, take tax and superannuation seriously. I mean, look, it's easy to just say, well, the boss, you know, deducts the right amount of PAYG from my pay packet and the boss contributes the right amount of superannuation guarantee into a super fund and I'm not too sure where the money goes. I'm not sure which super fund I belong to and I don't monitor the investments very much. It's really important for people's long-term welfare to get a handle on these things and take control of your taxes and superannuation. The idea is to not only take an interest in it, but to think of ways in which you can start saving tax or boosting your superannuation balance. And the earlier you start doing that, often you'll find that the earlier you'll start reaping some of the benefits in terms of bigger tax refunds and a faster growing superannuation balance.
So what are some good habits for people to get into in terms of superannuation from an early age?
Well, firstly, make sure that you've done some due diligence about the super fund that you want to contribute to. How has it performed over the years? If you're a young person, you've often perhaps had some part-time jobs at university or whilst you're at high school. And a lot of young people find they've got multiple superannuation accounts all over the shop. So aggregating those and putting them into one fund which you think has the best offering is really important, and then start focusing on how you can maximise the benefits. For example, the government has some incentives for people to put money aside for their first home purchase. It may be possible if you get an inheritance or some extra cash from somewhere that you can put some extra deductible superannuation contributions away. But I guess for young people, a lot of people say, well, we won't do that just yet. We'll focus on getting my university debt down. And that's good too. That's very good practice.
And what if you're unsure about a particular deduction or asset even?
So the ATO has some helpful material on its website, and you can always ring up the ATO and seek some advice. Obviously, as an accountant, we'd encourage people to start hopefully a lifelong relationship with a trusted advisor so that you can build on not just the requirements of things that need to be done, but also start planning ahead and have a strategy which you can take forward into the future to help you get that first home, help you get that maybe postgraduate study done and a higher degree obtained in a way which attracts a deduction for self-education expenses, for example.
So, Michael, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when it comes to their annual tax returns?
A lot of mistakes are based on misconceptions. So people talk to each other and say, well, I got a deduction for this. You know, you should be claiming a deduction for the same thing. And people are different. Their employment circumstances, their income-producing circumstances are different. So it's important to get advice which relates to what you've actually done. A bit of folklore has developed around the tax system over the years. People think, oh, well, I can always get a tax deduction for my clothes or my uniform. I can always get a tax deduction for buying what I think is a magazine, you know, related to my income producing activity. I can always get a tax deduction for travelling to visit my income producing rental property. And, you know, sometimes that used to be correct in the past, but now perhaps the government's changed the law, which is the case for those travel costs I just mentioned for visiting a rental property. So tax law changes all the time, and you shouldn't rely on informal advice. Get some advice from a professional.
And speaking of tax law changes, the Labor Party has flagged potential changes to their negative gearing policy. How might that affect investors, and how might that change someone's tax return?
Well, 2019 is going to be a very big year for tax reform if the Labor Party is elected to government. And as you say, the negative gearing change is perhaps the one that most people are aware of. The Labor policy is to restrict negative gearing deductions for the purchase of established homes, but they'll still give an income tax deduction for negatively geared new properties, new residential real estate properties. So it's important to think about the sort of property you want to buy. The Labor Party hasn't actually identified the start date yet, so they tell us that they'll be waiting until the calling of the next federal election, and when they know when the election date is, they will be more transparent about the starting arrangements. So it'd be interesting to see how this affects investor behaviour, because as you know, the property market is softening in some of the major state capitals, and also there are people who are finding it hard to get the banks and other lenders to cough up the loan funds necessary. So on the other side, there could be people who see, well, there's a restriction coming on negative gearing. I better get in early and try and acquire that established rental property and take advantage of the tax concessions whilst I can. So we anticipate that the first quarter, really, of 2019 will be quite an interesting time for investors as they try and toss up the pros and cons of negatively gearing and seek to convince their lending or body that you know, they're a good risk and they can meet the loan repayment obligations.
That was Michael Croker, Australian tax leader for the Institute of Chartered Accountants, ending that report.